Okay, the Board of Forestry is back in session, and we're going to move on to item number three, the Committee for Family Forest Lands Annual Report. Welcome, Mr. Bernard, and Committee for Family Forest Land members for joining the board in the virtual meeting room. And I'll let Josh lead us here. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Kelly, members of the board, and State Forester Hirsch. I'm Josh Bernard, Deputy Chief for the Private Forests Division. Joining me virtually today is the incoming Chair, Wendy Gerlach, and Barrett Brown, Northwest Area Representative, and Kate McMichael, the new landowner at large representative. Evan Barnes was planning to join us as well, and he may join us midway through if he's able to. In a moment, they'll tell you a bit more about their properties and key topics that the Committee for Family Forest Lands has been working on over the past year. As you know, the Committee for Family Forests is one of your standing advisory committees. The CFF was established by the Oregon Board of Forestry to assist the state forester and the board on issues relevant to approximately 70,000 family forest landowners. They focus on the formulation of policy and evaluate the impact those policies will have on family forest lands. The committee typically meets with the department September through June and engages staff from other agencies as needed. Over the past year, the committee put in a lot of effort on the topics identified in the annual report. I'll now turn the presentation over to Wendy Gerlach, the incoming chair of the committee, to talk a bit more about that work.
Hello, everyone. Wendy Gerlach, I'm the new chair of the committee. I'm a lawyer and I've worked in various forest transactions, including carbon offset projects, and I'm also a member of the land trust community, which also, of course, owns forest land.
We're struggling here to be able to hear you, so if you can do anything to come up, we'll do what we can on this end, but anything to make it a little higher volume, that would help.
All right. Is this better if I just speak more loudly?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I will. Anyway, I was just explaining my background and saying that although I'm involved in the land trust community, and that's one of my connections to smaller forest land ownerships, I'm, of course, here in my individual capacity as the oncoming chair, and I'm the member at large on the committee. So first off, I want to thank Evan Barnes, who's been the chair for the last almost 6 years. He joined the committee 6 years ago and was the head of it ongoing, and was certainly a mentor to me in his leadership over that time. The committee addressed many issues and provided short white papers on issues of particular interest to small forest land owners. I want to mention that I'll go through the report with you. Evan was unable to so far switch to the new schedule. So I think I'll jump on to just going through the points that are included in our report this year. Evan's highlight in the report was our sort of business as usual issues, but I want to lead out by saying that I know just from talking to him personally and also in the report that, of course, response to fire is one of the absolute key issues for our committee and for everyone really involved in forest lands in the state of Oregon. In particular, you'll hear some demographic information about family forest lands, which are often located in the wildland-urban interface. And so we're really at the forefront of new policies that might be enacted, and certainly in both the prevention and recovery issues having to do with wildfire. To go through a few points that are in the report overall, though, we'll mention that, sort of like your board, there are a number of changes in the Committee for Family Forest Lands. Evan and also John Peel are stepping down. So we have new members coming on that were on your consent agenda this morning. In addition, there's been a change in the Associated Oregon Loggers ex officio members. So we have Amanda Astor, who is on, will be on in a moment as well as a new member. And Amy Janke took over for Jim James for OSWA, the Oregon Small Woodlands Association. The committee relies on these ex officio members and also on the Department of Forestry. And we also have Glenn Ahrens from OSU and others who help us our consultants to us when we were bringing up issues and discussing them on our committee. We want to thank very much the members of ODF, especially private forests and also fire, and the planning division, the state forester and board chair and others for their assistance as well. So to go through the points of the chair's introduction, again, is put together by in our report. We're very concerned with the issues connected with climate change, and some of our most critical issues are those rising from fire, some contentious issues in terms of endangered species, streamside buffers, and other climate change issues. One issue that we've worked on very specifically over time is the shortage of tree seedlings. And looking forward, we have a partnership put together that's been meeting regularly to talk about how to make sure that the smaller forest land owners end up with an allocation of seedlings. You know, I see that Evan has just jumped on. If I can turn it over to Evan once I see his audio is connected. Another point that we mentioned in our report is our interest in the Memorandum of Understanding, the Private Forest Accord, as it goes forward. And we would love to be part of that process when it becomes sort of out of its current confidential phase. Evan, if you want to, I see that you're on the call. I had just gone through your chair's introduction. If you want to unmute yourself and join, you are welcome to go through the remainder of the report.
Well, thank you, Wendy. Let me switch here. My apologies, I'm in another meeting. For 6 years, I've been able to juggle my participation in a local electric cooperative as a director and the Committee for Family Forest Lands. And we got in a big discussion, and I looked up and saw that the meeting had shifted slightly. I am the current chair. Actually, at 9 o'clock, if the board voted for the consent agenda, Wendy is now the chair of the committee, and that's a great choice. I know her guidance and counsel will be great for the committee for the next coming, hopefully, 2-3 year terms. I did write an introduction to our annual report, and to make this quicker, I will summarize. There's a lot of issues before family forest lands in Oregon and all forest lands, but I harp on this, and I hope that it gets some traction. Uncontrolled fire is our biggest problem, and it is one of incredible loss of human life and of economic loss to the state and all the citizens. Health hazards, I could go on and on. I hope that the board can look forward and help to be instrumental in forming policy and going after uncontrolled fires. It's our biggest risk. So to make this shorter, I will move on and looking at my schedule. So where are, did Josh make his couple of minutes, Wendy, and then you were in that part? Where are we ready for you to finish up and then go to Barrett?
You know, I think I can hand it over to you, Evan. I just went through the points in your introduction. I hadn't talked about the basic bullet points under your priority issues. So if you had comments on, I mentioned seedlings, we hadn't talked about some of the other issues there, like labor pool and Eastern Oregon specific needs.
Okay. Well, for purposes of expediting the meeting, I'll move all past those things, and we can have them. You can have them as committee issues moving forward. So, I would then move to you, and we can move down the agenda. Our agenda. Does that work?
That sounds perfect. I think I've already introduced myself. So I want to thank you again, Evan and Persons, for your service. And then I'll just turn it straight over to Barrett Brown.
Great. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Have we got each other here? Terrific. Terrific. Thanks. Good morning, folks. For the record, my name is Barrett Brown. I'm the Northwest Oregon landowner representative on the Committee for Family Forests. It's always a pleasure to come before you, and I want to say welcome and best of luck to you members just joining the board. CFF is chartered to maintain and bring a diverse set of small family forest viewpoints to the issues you work on. And it's important to note also that we work to align as closely as possible with your work plan. That's what we're here for, to provide as much utility as possible as you work on private forest issues. This community, as I mentioned, is diverse. It's hard to, it's impossible to provide a bumper sticker description for what a family forest landowner is and what, where their values lie. But I can describe a couple of snapshots. My forest, we live in North Washington County on a forest my wife and I purchased about 30 years ago. And we at that time had no idea what we were getting into. And we spent a lot of time climbing around on our hands and knees with little hand pruners, trying to manage each of the little seedlings we could uncover on our 110 acres. Made no business sense whatsoever, made no practical sense whatsoever, but it meant everything to us. We spent the last dime we had to buy that ground. And it was our engagement with the small woodland community, the Oregon Small Woodland Association chapter, our Washington County chapter here, and a lot of other smart, generous people who picked us up and got us engaged with best practices, forest land management laws, and planning and goal setting objectives that could make this a viable family forest. And today we're really proud of our FSC SFI certified tree farm. We have something here now after 30 years that we think will provide meaning and value to our family for generations. I'm now engaged with folks, recruiting members and trying to reach out to folks just like we used to be. For example, I had a discussion with a family forest owner who, they were a suburban family, did the same thing, reached out, bought a piece of property and had no idea what they had. And they were talking to me about how sad it was that this kind of pond had all this junk in it, that the, trees had kind of fallen in and branches. It was just a mess. And so they were going to get an excavator and kind of clean the pond. Getting hooks in them, getting them engaged and understanding the ecosystem services that pond that they were going to fix really meant, they were thrilled to have that kind of engagement, the U-turn in their philosophy and early on. And I can't tell you how often that happens now in my work with Small Woodland Association. Another story up in the Sandy M, a colleague of mine has a small bit of timber ground that completely burned over. And their entire family was used to this family property being dark, deep, luscious, beautiful forest. And it's now just a virtual desert with a stream flowing through in the open sunshine with warm water. And they had never thought of this as a forest that could recover. And now, being in somewhat state of despair, I can talk about my experience with the result of some careful management and time, that forest can recover the next generation of their family can get the same value they've gotten out of it if they're careful and thoughtful in their management, and not to despair, take optimism instead as a posture. You've heard a little bit about, family forests make up a large part of that wildland urban interface zone. They live at the heart of the most complex forest management issues that you consider here. And at the same time, they're diverse, diffuse, hard to reach. And it's one of the many reasons that we need the board as an engaged and supportive partner, because Oregon needs a healthy, informed forest family community. So thanks for your work. I will pass it off next to Kate McMichael. Kate, are you on?
I am here. Josh, do you have those slides?
Yes, we're pulling them up now.
You are awesome. I'm providing these as a little bit of context, sort of where my feet and heart are planted. I am Kate McMichael. I guess I'm now the new landowner at large representative on this committee. I'm also a new woodland owner. So here's some context. So this is April of 2019. Next slide. That was 2 weeks after closing on this property. And this was about 17 months later when they first let us back up after the Holiday Farm fire. Next slide. Now you can see a little bit of before and after. This is the slope right below our home site, which fortunately was only in the process of being built at the time of the fire. Next slide. We were lucky, able to do some replanting, and things were looking really good until next slide, the heat wave that has all of our, we can see that next slide if that works, has turned everything. I mean, our seedlings now look like this. That's some of the ones that look pretty good, and we've been actually hand watering them, and even some of our survivor trees are starting to look pretty sketchy. And that's it on slides. Thank you, Josh, for great. So a little bit about me. I am a retired high school world religion and ethics teacher. I grew up in Idaho, outside city limits of Boise, lived in the Bay Area after that for several decades. And finding this property and falling in love with it was really the fulfillment of a retirement dream to return to living on land and getting back to the Northwest. My wife and I are longtime backpackers and wilderness lovers, but also both former educators. So we knew that loving something doesn't automatically mean you know much about it. So we started learning everything we could as soon as we got up here. So we have leaned very, very heavily on OSU Extension, on the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. We cannot say enough about the value of the Partnership for Forestry Education. When we bought this property, we had a really healthy forest in three age classes. We had some really young reprod. We had some tweeners in, you know, about 19, 20 year olds, and then a sort of middle-aged stand, well, middle-aged to us, you know, mid-30s, that we thought would be our retirement for maybe a small harvest later so that we might be able to pay for end-of-life care. We were really excited about things like carbon capture and carbon storage and contributing to a healthy watershed. We had a bit of dog hair in some of our older trees, and so we did some hands-on fuels mitigation. Ironically, we finished a lot of that and opened up some skid trails just in time for the Holiday Farm fire. We know really how fortunate we've been. One of our neighbors is a consulting forestry with actually FSC background. He helped us with a small salvage harvest since we knew nothing about harvesting trees. All our classes had taught us about management, not really about harvesting. But we were able to salvage a few of those older trees because they were too densely planted to plant, to interplant. We were kind of excited at that prospect, grateful and heartbroken all at the same time. We were kind of excited that those trees got to hold on to their carbon. Maybe I love to hold on to the thought that maybe some of them are building materials for other folks trying to rebuild post-fire. That may not be true, but I like to hold on to that thought. We were really grateful for everyone who's helped us, but it's heartbreaking every day. And we try really hard not to worry about the future, actually not really even think about it, because that was our nest egg that we see. We look out our kitchen window now and see the no longer existing nest egg every day. We were able to replant. Some folks gave us trees and taught us how to plant them, so we did some of that. We were fortunate to be able to get a contractor in who did some replanting for us. We've been working as hard as we can with the ones immediately around our home. About 1,200 of them, we've been able to put our firefighter backpacks on and water them and put mulch mats, shades, and pretty much that didn't really help. We can count the number of live trees. We just got back in from today's watering, and you know, you can count the healthy trees on, you know, your fingers. But we're still watering. If there's any green, they're still getting some water. Looking back over this past 2 years, it's been a crash course in woodland management, both from a distance and living here, and a crash course in changing climate. That crazy snowstorm was right after we signed, saying we wanted the property, catastrophic fire, drought, heat wave. But our other abiding feeling is gratitude for the extension, for the fire program, for ODF, for OFREE, for Tree School Online, for the Upper Willamette Soil and Water Conservation District and Pure Water Partners and NRCS and the Farm Service Agency. We are the forestry and timber folks, Oregon Small Woodlands, Women Owning Woodlands Network, Oregon Women in Timber. Folks have been amazingly kind and generous and loving and supportive of us, which is why I actually said yes when asked to be part of this committee. It feels like a way to say thank you and try and do something tangibly to contribute to the health and well-being of other small woodland owners and Oregon's forests. So thank you for this opportunity to speak. Know that you're always welcome to come out and visit our little recovering forest. And now back to Josh.
Great. Thank you, Kate. We'll pull up a couple more pieces of information here. So now that you've heard from some individual stories, the committee also wanted to share some statewide level information on the other approximately 70,000 landowners from across Oregon that are in the 10 to 5,000 acre size category. I'm going to keep it pretty high level. This is only intended to be an introduction and want to make sure there's time left for you all here at the end. The information on the screen comes from the National Woodland Owner Survey, which is administered by the U.S. Forest Service. And as you can see on the slide, the National Family Forest is the largest ownership group when you look at that nationally. So here's a slide that shows who owns the forest in Oregon. And in Oregon, family forest landowners are found across all Oregon landscapes, including many of our urban growth boundaries. They represent about 3.7 million acres or 12% of forest ownership. National Woodland Owner Survey also provides information. This slide shows the percentage of landowners in Oregon who cited each of these reasons for owning land as important or very important to them. As you can see, family forest landowners have a variety of objectives and reasons for owning their woodlands. The majority of family forest landowners are active owners who have numerous activities they've done in the past 5 years and have plans for the next five. The light green on the slide indicates likely or extremely likely to do that activity, and dark green indicates activities done in the past 5 years. The list of activities also helps to inform ODF and other service providers on the topics of interest that landowners want to learn more about. And finally, based on the data from the survey, we can see that landowners have used a variety of methods to get assistance in the last 5 years. This information is useful in helping inform the committee, the department, and our partners that are part of the Partnership for Forestry Education. The partnership is a collaborative group of government, nonprofit, and private organizations dedicated to providing educational resources to forest landowners. You can learn more about the partnership and these groups in the Family Forest Guide, which was provided as a handout. At this point, I'll turn it back to Evan for any closing comments.
Well, thank you very much for listening to our report. And I'd like to open it up to any questions that the board may have that we could answer while we're here. And extend the invitation, as Kate did, to the CFF meetings that are monthly and occur at the on the other side of the river there on the Oregon Department of Forestry campus. What questions do you have that we could answer?
Carla Chambers.
Thank you. First, Kate, your story is heart-wrenching. And we have good friends in Vida that lost their home on the river and driven through that area. And it's just, it's heartbreaking what has happened there. So we are sorry about that loss for you personally. A couple of questions. You started out the presentation on four specific needs, the shortage of tree seedlings, you know, the MOU, labor pool, and uncontrolled fire being your biggest problem, which in my mind is mitigation. Do you have a really more specific list that you could share with us as an organization? So we are very, you know, very clear on the top needs of, you know, this group in Oregon. And you mentioned 3.7 million acres are, or 12% of Oregon's forests are owned by small private ownership. What is that in terms of numbers? It's 9.6 million families in the U.S. How many families or individuals are we talking about in Oregon? I don't think I picked up on that number. Thank you.
Wendy, I think you're the person that would aptly answer those questions.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I was going to say that our priority issues are pretty well highlighted in our annual report, because a lot of those priority issues go forward. So there are, as we mentioned, the ones you mentioned, like seedlings participating in the Memorandum of Understanding, labor pool, and fire. One sort of common issue there is to try and pool our interests, like do some sort of combined agreements for labor or for seedlings or something like that. So we have a couple of working groups that are working on issues where we're pooling resources to try and get in queue to access resources that way. I would also mention that technical assistance is a high priority. So this comes in under a couple of our points in our report and our work plan going forward. I know that the recent legislative session has funded a few more ODF technical assistance positions. That's, well, as Kate was saying, that's invaluable to small owners. And will continue to be in the future. So deployment of those kinds of assistance resources to our community is critical. Oh, and the number that I don't have, the statistical number that you asked for, the actual number of owners versus the percentage of ownership. It's possible that Josh or knows that number.
Yes, thank you, Wendy. Chair Kelly, Board Member Chambers. That number is approximately 70,000 that fit in that family forest landowner category. I don't know the total number of landowners that we consider in the various categories beyond that, but the number for that falling at 5 to 10,000 acres is around 70,000 family forest landowners. 70,000.
70. And one thing I'd like to comment that it's been pretty incredible testimony, but Mr. Brown's testimony makes a point that I think is important for us all to remember. You know, committee has in the title of the committee, they're advisors to us. But in reality, it's a two-way street. And so you guys are ambassadors for us out in those communities with your neighbors, as you described, and with the associations in your local communities that you're working with. And so when I look at the value that you provide, it's not limited to the advice you give us, although that is valued, of course, but we really appreciate what you do out there in this arena, in your own communities, and keeping that connection to ODF and what we can do. So thank you. Any other board questions or comments?
Hi, I just have a quick question about the structure of the committee. Do you guys operate is it consensus voting? When you bring recommendations to the board, is it a unanimous situation or is it a majority? I'm just curious how the voting works and how, when we see recommendations, the process that you've used to get to those.
Yeah, Barrett, do you want to handle that one?
Sure. We did just adopt a policy of posture for our committee, where we'll basically record if we come to you with a recommendation. It's our commitment to record the process we went through, the various outside partners we brought into the discussion, to record the discussion itself, and to provide both a minority and a minority report to the board, so you get the entire context, you know, and having that context for you it's not only broad in the breadth that you need, but it'll actually hopefully serve to strengthen the confidence in the majority report and the process you've got in front of you.
Yeah, thank you. That would be super helpful.
Okay, Board Member McComb.
Thank you, Chair Kelly. A question for Josh or the group, I'm not sure which. I'm wondering if the Forest Stewards Guild is represented in this group.
Chair Kelly, Board Member McComb, are you referring to as part of the CFF? Is that your question?
Sorry, I didn't.
Are you referring to the CFF as the group? For your question,
there's a PNW chapter of the Forest Stewards Guild that's growing in numbers and I think in influence. I'm just wondering if they've been represented here.
They are not represented currently on the committee in any of the ex officio or formal roles at this point.
Great, thank you.
Board Member Chambers.
Yeah, just one follow-up question. I thought your annual report was very good, and thank you for that. I just want to be sure, and I'm a newer member of this board, and so maybe this is really clear to everybody else, but I want to be sure that we have a clear enough understanding of what is really needed, you know, by this group as it relates to the Oregon Department of Forestry. So as I look at the seedling needs, and I really understand that the demand on, with this many fires, the tremendous demand on seedlings, or the labor pool shortages, all of us in natural resources are really dealing with that. But if you could put more, and maybe Nancy, this is really clear to all of you, so I apologize if it is, but more meat on the bones specifically in terms of the needs of this organization, because it's just so critical, you know, with this many landowners and this many acres represented, that I just want to be sure we're really clear on the specific, you know, needs here.
Okay. Any other comments? So this is a decision item. Hillary, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
Chair Kelly and members of the board, no one has signed up for this item.
Okay, great. In that case, I will seek a motion on the proposed recommendation to accept this.
Also move.
Carla Chambers has moved. We have a second.
A second. Ben Dormling seconds.
Okay. Well, we will prepare yourselves for a vote as your name is called. Carla Chambers?
Aye.
Ben Dormling?
Aye.
Chandra Ferrari?
Aye.
Brenda McComb?
Aye.
And myself is also an aye. And that means with the board in consensus, the motion carries. And we will move on to the next item on our agenda, number four. And I will defer, as long as they're ready, we're a little bit ahead of schedule, I will defer to Mr. Graff to introduce his staff.
And to the board and to the members of CFF, thank you for joining us. Feel free to disengage and mute yourself, but feel free to continue joining the meeting.
Thank you.